everyone, and welcome to episode 16 of Move Around Minute, the Daily Podcast, where we curry our way through the 2001 award-winning miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today for a special interview episode as we close out part one of this 10-part miniseries is Freddie Joe Farnsworth, one of Dale Dye's men, who will tell us all about the process involved in training the actors to act like real soldiers. So have a listen. Well, welcome to the show, Freddie Joe. Thank you very much for taking the time to come and talk to me and for all the listeners to be able to hear your story. What is your journey with Band of Brothers?
Band of Brothers. I was one of the tech advisors with Captain Dye, one of the cadre. I was in charge of First Platoon, which had Compton, Garnier, Lipton. I can't remember everybody that I know. Most of them through boot camp, as well as I played the trooper on the horse in episode 3, Sergeant Farnsworth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about that. That was a true character, but nobody knew who he was. And in history, the trooper on the horse, he came in like looked like a chimney sweep, had the hat on, the black long-tailed jacket on, and everybody's like, who is this? And they didn't know who he was, and they didn't want to get a clearance of a name, so they said, can we just use your last name? And I went, yep, let's do it.
Hey, that's great. So, I mean, my assumption is that you were working with Dale Dye before Band of Brothers. The way that you just made it sound is if you were part of his team, and when you were dealing with Band of Brothers, they just brought you went along with the rest of the team. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I met Captain Dye a few years before in a movie called Starship Troopers.
I've heard of that.
And that was my film. And then I went off and did another film, Rough Riders, and then we were doing Wag the Dog. I got stuck on that. Couldn't do Saving Private Ryan. And then I ventured off because I wanted to be a stuntman. So I ventured from that point and worked to be a stuntman. And then later on, I did a movie called Rules of Engagement. And then
With Samuel L. Jackson and Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes, sir. And after that, Captain was like, yo, yeah, you got to be on my team forever. So, because, you know, we did, that was the first time we did like navigation in the jungle and everything. And me being a grunt, it was, you know, it was like the back of my hand. And he was like, yeah, I need you to come help me out. And then researched to do Band of Brothers, and the rest is history.
Wow. So actually, let's even go further back. What's your history with the Marines?
I joined the Marines in May of 85, and I spent 9.5 years in. I was an infantryman. I worked at the School of Infantry as an instructor, Marine combat training, troop handler. I was in Desert Storm. I worked in security forces for a couple years at NIS North Island in Coronado, where the last Top Gun was filmed. And then that was it, basically.
So, I mean, I'm assuming that the training that you dealt with, I mean, as an instructor of the Marines during the 80s was different than the instruction that the guys of the 506 got 40 yeah. something years earlier.
Oh yeah. One of the strong.
So how does that work from that perspective? Cause I mean, if you're supposed to be training them to be like the guys from the 506 from Tekoa, but you're using methods that were used, 40 years later. Again, most of the people I'm assuming who are listening to this have seen An Officer and a Gentleman. They've seen Full Metal Jacket, so they know, what to expect, at least in a movie, from a drill instructor.
Right. The essence of a warrior has been the essence of a warrior for thousands of years. Of course. The only thing that changes is history, weapons, wardrobe, tactics, of course, have changed completely. So, you know, my last 4 years in the Marines, I was at Marine Combat Training. I spent a year and a half of that as an instructor. The other year, other 2 years, basically, I was a troop handler. And a troop handler's job is to stress privates, stress young Marines out, young military people out, personnel, as much as you can, but yet then teach them offense, defense, weapons, so on and so forth, under that same stress. And, you know, it's Marine combat training, and there's no way of, you're not like really shooting bullets at them. You're not really trying to kill them. But the point is use your voice and physical training and sleep deprivation, and then instruct them in things. And then they start learning basically subconsciously, to where their mind doesn't have to work to accomplish a mission, to do certain things. And then, and as an instructor, I...
Right, muscle memory.
Yeah, it's the same thing as anybody else. You know, one of the worst things I say all the time to people, especially young Marines, is if you think in combat, you're going to die. When you're on the front lines, you know, if you're a colonel in the back, you should be thinking all the time. But if you're the guy up, if you're the bullet sponge in the front of the lines, your body and you just need to be reacting to everything that's going on. If you take time to think, then a lot of times it's not good. Right. And so basically what I did is I did, you know, research history, research the, you know, Easy Company, of course, as much as I can. World War II tactics, World War II weaponry, World War II everything. And then I just transplanted that into the mindset that I already had and that I'd already taught. So when you look back at basic trainings in the 1940s and 1930s and 1940s, the outline was still there. Sleep deprivation, train them in massive stress, get them to learn things to where they just react and do stuff. So all that just came naturally to me. And that's why Captain Dye was just like, yeah, you're my guy.
I mean, how big was the Dale Dye's team that was doing, you know, the training of all of these actors?
You mean for Band of Brothers?
For Band of Brothers. Obviously it's going to change depending on what they need. I mean, from what I understand is that Dale Dye, you know, was working with Oliver Stone in the 80s and said, hey, wait a second, this is a great idea. Why don't I just set up a company that's going to train all the soldiers, right, you know, in the all the actors in the tactics so that it looks more realistic? And, you know, from platoon onward, I mean, and that's, you know, that's why things look so accurate. In so many different movies.
Yes, sir. The work speaks for itself, right?
for sure.
There was two platoon sergeants. Well, three. There was the XO, Mike Stokey, which is his, you know, his best friend. Mike Stokey's done a ton of stuff. There was a weapons platoon sergeant, me as first platoon sergeant, and a second platoon sergeant, and then there was we had one other person that he called guide that would make sure the paperwork and equipment and everything was handed out all the time. So there was six of us, I believe. Maybe. Yeah, six of us. Seven counting Captain Dye. So, yeah, right. He had a nice little strong cadre for 80 people, whatever, 70, 80, 90 people.
Wait, there were 90 actors that were being trained?
No,
in all this?
There were... I mean, I still do this to this day. When we train the actor, especially when it's something that's so intense as Band of Brothers, we bring in what's called, we call them special ability background, special ability. And so that squad is that squad. And you know, you may have three or four actors in that squad, but a squad is 12, 13 people. So we got to fill in seven or eight other guys. So we bring in, we try to get as many former military personnel, a lot of British military guys, you know, former military guys, and they go to boot camp with the actors and they form that full squad, full platoon. So when you watch Band of Brothers, every episode, when you watch Band of Brothers, you'll see guys next to them that never say a word in the whole film, but you'll see them in multiple episodes, multiple scenes. acting,
right?
Just as you know, and what it does is, you know, it enhances the motivation for everybody to do a good job. Because, you know, if I bring a guy in that's just going to work for the day, he doesn't care that this guy, and he probably hasn't read the book, he hasn't done any research, he's just going to come in and, you know, look like crap.
Exactly. Okay. No, I understand that. You can say shit. I know.
Yeah. So, we want everybody to go through this to have. We start training from day one about pride in the uniform, pride in the person. You know, when they look at us as cadre, they look at Cap Dye. You know, Cap Dye's that leader up there. He's always got his stuff stoic. He's got his piss cutter on right. He's got everything. And he's got, you know, me spitting tobacco at him. And then he's got another guy over here that's, you know, a little more quiet and a little more, you know, we try to give them all aspects of what military life is, we also want the background performers that are near them. You know, nothing can ruin a scene more than everything in front, but something over in the far corner of the scene draws your eye, and it's a guy with his helmet on backwards.
Right.
and there's scenes sometimes where you have hundreds and thousands of people. You know, I've done shows where we've literally had 1,200 background performers. This film called Alexander. So
wow.
You can't watch everybody. Yeah. So if we train everybody, even in Band of Brothers, you know, all the background, the day players or the B Corps and the C Corps, they just had all the way to F Corps background performers. They would come in for at least a day of training. So we really could trust that they knew. And what we would do is we would challenge them all against each other. So, you know, some of the B Corps guys ended up being just in the show just as much as A Corps, because they're challenging each other. They're going at each other. And what happens is they end up starting watching each other going, oh, what are you doing? You're not carrying your weapon right. Right. And, you know, they might be 50 meters away from me or the camera or something, but they're taking care of each other at the time. So, yeah, it's a good process. It's just like the military. It's, you know, it's having squad leaders, team leaders,
right.
Platoon sergeants. It's the same thing.
Wow, that's just really cool. Because there are also, you know, the first part of this miniseries deals with the men in training. So I'm assuming that's a different type of specialty for you guys to be, you know, there's one thing to be teaching actors to be in the shot, you know, in the middle of a battle scene, but here you also have to train them in a way that they can also deal with the training that these characters are going through.
Right. You know, when we do the show, even Band of Brothers, the filming aspect is completely taken out of it. So there's no characters, they're only allowed to call themselves by, you know, I still call Garnier, call Lipton, Nixon, you know, I call them all by their names, and somebody will say, it's Joe Matteo's birthday. And I'm like, who? Then they have to remind you who it is, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, that's right. And, but everything through training is done exactly the same. So when they come on set, the filming, it's what they've already been through. So there's already, you know, especially the training portion, they've already ran in formations. They've already, you know, had some guy yelling at them doing stupid stuff. You know, they've already had all that, you know, things. And then when it comes to jump school, we did a three-day jump school with them, you know, it's all the time we had. But, you know, went all the way into the last day where we took them to the British pair school, you know, where they got to jump off the towers, and actual instructors came in, you know, some of their finest paratroopers came in and actually spent time with them and showed them. And, you know, so by the time we got to filming, everything they went through in every aspect, they had already done in that training.
Wow. That's amazing.
So when they got on set, that, you know, there's one thing I try to tell people, you know, the hardest part of acting is what I do with my hands,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then if I go and say, okay, here's a weapon, that's what you do with your hands, then it really gets ridiculous. Yeah. It gets like crazy. So if we train them, we beat on them all the time, and we go at them, all of a sudden that weapon becomes a part of their arm. And now they don't have to worry about their hands. Right. So now they're holding their weapon a certain way. They're carrying a certain way. Right. They're putting their hand, you know, they're doing it just like they did in training. Right. And, you know, as long as they're within the, you know, what the historians or what we as the trainers feel is World War II, in boot camp, we let them do it. Only time we get after them is if they step outside that.
Right. Okay. I mean, again, I have a military background also, so I'm very familiar with how that works. You know, not from an acting perspective, but from the realistic perspective. You know, sometimes I will look at soldiers and I'll say, why the hell is he holding the gun that way, or why is he shooting it that way, and why is he, you know, why, you know, a lot of times I'll see in movies where you'll see someone in a situation and then he cocks the gun, and I'm saying, why is this character cocking the gun? He's walking around with a loaded gun. You know, you don't cock a gun again.
Yeah. And that comes from, you know, a lot of times not training. You know, that's a lot of that is the actors, I got to do something with my hands. I guess I have to have something to do. You know, it's like, you know, get off the helicopter, run to the door. It's like, wait, what?
Exactly.
And you're absolutely right. And the good thing is, once you train them properly, once you do, it, you know, if you train them right, the actors will make sure that that's done that already. Right. They will, you know, they will, you know, a director will say, hey, what I want you to put a, you know, chamber around, and the actor's like, what? We've been fired at for 10 minutes. You know, I already have a round chamber. What are you talking about? You know, and so then they'll call us in, you know, Cap Dye or me or Mike Stokey, and they'll say, okay, well, what can he do? You know, how about he sneaks around, takes two shots, the clip line out of his M1, and he reloads it. I love it. Let's go. You know, it's like gives them something to do.
Right.
But the actors, you know, if you train them properly, the actors will start fighting, going, no, no, you know.
That's not what I was.
We would never
that's
do
not
that.
What Freddie Joe taught me.
Exactly, or Captain Dye, or anybody else. You know,
is he still doing?
Yeah, he's still. I think he has a Tom Hanks, another Tom Hanks show coming up. I just seen him, a month and a half ago. We were in Fredericksburg, Texas. We were at the World War II Pacific Museum, and we did an event down there. And I just seen him. He's doing great, still doing his thing, still barking at bartenders. Bring me another, you know, bring me another beer. So, but yeah, he's, you know, he, of course he's slowed down a little bit. He's 80, but he still goes in and you know, does the show. I think he's doing something for Tom Hanks very soon. So,
interesting.
I think.
I mean, according to IMDb, he's in pre-production on two things: Citizen Soldiers and Stupid Cupid. I don't know what either of those are.
Yeah, and he probably doesn't either. IMDb is it's good to find out if somebody actually worked on a project, but sometimes I'll go on my IMDb and I'm like, what? I don't even know what that is.
Well, maybe you phased out that period. You forgot.
Yeah,
about
yeah. And you know, he's a really an amazing actor too. So he could just be doing acting in something, not necessarily tech advising.
Right, so, obviously, because again, as we saw even in Band of Brothers and was on Saving Private Ryan, he does have roles. And obviously, going back to what I mentioned before about Platoon. I mean, that is, I love his role in Platoon.
You know, yeah, I think that's one of his best acting jobs.
Yeah.
And he's like, you never seen Invasion from Mars with strippers. So.
Exactly.
you were the man on that one, I thought.
Yeah. And so with, I mean, because of the intense training that you do, have you had occasions, I don't know whether it's in Band of Brothers or not, where actors will say, I have enough of this, I'm not doing it anymore, and they just drop out? Or most of them realize that they're there for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it is, they're gonna, you know, gruel it out and you know, get their pick, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this 29 years now. I literally have had a major problem with just two actors. And I'm not telling you.
No, I know you won't tell me. That's fine. That was...
and, you know, both of them, it was almost like they read that book that I'm an actor and I deserve this. And both of them were good actors in their right mind. One of them really, probably about a third way through the project, really went, oh, I should have paid more attention to you. And it completely apologetic. And then he was amazing the rest of the film. It was like he wouldn't move. He wouldn't do anything unless I told him, you know, you got to do this. The other one, he was kind of a star before he got there. And he did not like getting yelled at. You know, one of those, I come from the finest thespian school in the world. Why do I need you? You know, she's like, okay, whatever. But you know, you win those battles in the long run. It's being a military guy, you know, sometimes, especially Marine, sometimes I go a little bit too far and I have to be drugged back in like other actors. But I will tell you this, 99.8% of every actor I've ever been with, especially when you walk on set and you're that guy that they've been reading about and that guy they've been researching, they want to suck every ounce of knowledge out of you as they can get. And a lot of it starts with the first speech you give. Dale's, Cap and Dice taught me a long time ago when I do my projects, but Cap and Dice taught me, that first speech you give these guys, if you can motivate them and they're like, oh, I'm going to get this out of this, they become sponges. You know, Samuel Jackson to the smallest part, you know, smallest actor in the world that's on his first film. That's their possession. You know, that's what they want to do. They want to be an actor. And if they want to be, you know, a lot of times you have to tell them, you can't play your part exactly like me. You got to have a little bit in there. But they, you know, that's what they want to be. They want to be an actor. And Captain Dye's name is somebody like Captain Dye. They're like, oh gosh, this is going to be the, you know, think of all the great actors that he has trained in these great movies that become phenomenal films. Now as well as later now in my career, I get that as well. Somebody said, oh my God, you know, Frank Joe, he's a legend. He gets, you know, they want that because that they know they're going to get somewhere that next step in their career. Mm-hmm. You know, then a lot of times I just tell them like, look, this is the first time you'll do an actual film and you're going to be tested. You know, you're going to be challenged, not just mentally, can I know my lines? You're going to be challenged physically, mentally, everything else. And you're going to accomplish something that very few people in the film business has done. So when you're done with this, you're going to be able to look at each other and go, holy, we're a whole dude. We're at a different level than everybody else. And, you know, and that's the funny thing about it, especially the Banner Brothers guys. I talk to them a lot. You know, none of them can want a set or do things without referring it to wow. Banner Brothers. So when I did a show Michael Cutlass was directing and he brought me out, you know, he's tooth and nail till finally brought me out. He's going to take advice. This is the guy. Trust me. This is the guy. He's going to fix everything up. But even there, he's talking to the actors. He'd say, hey, when we did Band of Brothers, you know, because it was a military thing. So, you know, when we did Band of Brothers, this is what we were going through. Remember when Freddie Joe was talking to you about this and then he was showing you this? This is what we were thinking. And, you know, and he would refer to back to when he worked on Band of Brothers as a director 25 years later. So it's something that will live with them forever. Same thing with Pacific. I see Pacific guys all the time. I'll show up on a show. I'm tech advising, you know, on a TV show, and they're the guest star or whatever. And they're just like, oh, this is going to be the best episode ever. And all they can think about is that training. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, all their co-actors and day players and even the stars start coming up going, oh, hey, we want you to teach me something, you know, because they've seen those projects. They've seen what the end product is. So, it's pretty awesome.
Wow. That is so fascinating. I mean, of all the people that I've talked to, you know, everyone says the same thing what you just said about the fact that Band of Brothers was so integral to their lives and their career that, you know, it's a rare thing that 25 years afterwards, actors are still getting together with other actors and other people who are on the production of something that, you know, was tied in a ribbon so many, you know, a quarter of a century ago. But
it's almost like we're all Adam Sandler groupies. you do show Dexter Fletcher's directing, I forgot the name of the show, apologize, but every other episode, I know he directed three episodes. Oh, it's the show about The Godfather.
The Offer.
Or Yeah. Yes, the series, the six, and when you watch it, every episode Dexter Fletcher directed, there's Band of Brother actors in it. You know, there's Lee Gott, there's Joe Toy, there's in like every episode he did, wow. there's a Band of Brother actors in it. And that's that was right. filmed 20 years later.
Yeah, wow, that's really interesting. How again, it's so if it affects them so much that they want to go back and see those guys, you know, again. So, hey, let's bring them in.
Oh yeah, and it's not just that. I mean, I was working Captain America, and we were work. I was worked on Hugo. I was doing a stunt. I did on Hugo, but I was out doing Captain America at the time, and I was at. I believe it was, I get all studios mixed up. I was at Shepperton Studios. No, I was at Pinewood Studios. And I was just walking down the street, and we were going, walking the studio, and I was there with like 8 or 9 guys, some crew, about 10 guys, crew guys. And they didn't know I was the only American there, you know? So they just like, yeah, who's this goof with us? And I was walking down, and we were walking by a production. This is a really funny story. And I'm getting off his motorcycle, his helmet off, and he just looks at me and goes, right in front of everybody, because nobody's hardly talking to me. They're just like, this is he here. And they were like, and all of a sudden, it's James McAvoy. And he's like, Sarge, Sarge. And he, at the time, he was humongous. I mean, he, you know, he's like, and everybody's like, oh, who is this guy? And then we're walking back. You know, you got everything. And we're walking back. For lunch, and we were going, I forgot where we were going, and Dexter Fletcher was outside.
Right.
And there was like, holy shit. And then they were like, how the hell does he know everybody? It was like, and they're all Band of Brothers actors. And then, I mean, you're talking 20 years later, and I look completely different, but we just know each other. We see everybody. It's pretty awesome.
Well, it's the idea that, okay, this is my previous commander. I need to treat him with respect and remember him, you know.
Yeah, you know, and I have guys that call me. They're having personal problems all the time. It's like, you know, I have guys from the Marines that, you know, I was their squad leader, team leader, whatever. They call me all the time, and I still have them from the film business. You know, I need your perspective from this. You know, and they still call me Sarge, or if it's guys from the Pacific, it's Gunny, or, you know, it's guys from the show, it's Lieutenant. I'm like, I'm not a Lieutenant. I was a Sergeant. But, you know, and I wasn't a Gunny, but you can call me Gunny. That's when you know you did it right. And, you know, the whole point is anytime you wear that uniform, as you know, you're just saying you have a military background. Anytime somebody, you know, was it IDF?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, I did a show called World War Z.
Okay.
And they were just like, oh, you know, we're just going to have I was like, no, they need training. And I fought and fought and fought. And I ended up getting like 5 days of training with the actresses. Thank goodness, because, you know, they were wonderful actresses and they were wonderful what they did. And even though they were both Israeli, one of them was a singer and one of them was a dancer. You know what I mean? Right. So it wasn't like they were, you know, and they were just like, we don't know none of this stuff. we did our 2 years, but, you know, I did a play. I did plays for the military. And I sang for, you know,
right.
just like they do in any military.
Yeah, of course.
But I was like battling, and finally I got 5 days, and one of the coolest things was, God, it was probably 12 years ago, no, maybe 10 years ago, I was at a friend's house. I was working in L.A. because I lived like 60 miles outside of L.A., and I just stayed at his house, had 3 or 4 days, and he had a friend come and stay at the house, and they were heart surgeons, and they were going through to UCLA. They were out here from Israel, and there was 4 ladies, and they were all like talking, and oh, what do you do? And da da da, you know, what's oh, and I said, yeah, well, I did the show World War Z, and they just went, oh, that was the best IDF in any show ever. You know, and I went, yeah, thanks. You know, and that just kind of makes you go, ugh.
Yeah, no, it is a great thing. I mean, they screw up the geography a little bit, but whatever. That's
well, we shot it in Malta. All you can do.
But that's par for the course.
You know, I'll tell you about Band of Brothers. One of the things I noticed early when, you know, before I went out there was, you know, because there was quite a few books written, you know, and there was some different, you know, different you know, just all of them were a little bit different. So this one thought, you know, would say something and it would completely, you know, it's just like people, it was like the whole Spear story, you know, it was like, no, he did this. No, he didn't, you know, but there's one thing I realized very early that Mr. Spielberg and Mr. Hanks and HBO them, they wanted this done as realistic as possible. And I, you know, I watched a thing one time about Saving Private Ryan, and I watched, they were doing a thing about World War II veterans coming out after watching the film and seeing the tears in their eyes and, oh, that was like that. And, you know, and every one of the main things they said is, you know, when the clips came out and the noise, the flame noise they made, right, that got me.
Right.
That got me. I completely went back and I just said, you know, that's the realism. You're not going to be able to tell a story. You know, me and you could go do something, and then as soon as we're done, we could both write down what we just did, and half of yours would be different than mine, and the other half of mine would be different than yours. So I knew what Band of Brothers wanted to do is they wanted to tell the story that needed to be told. And they wanted to tell the story as close to historical points as they could, you know, and then, you know, put everything together, the, you know, the theatrical stuff and the, you know, the thespian stuff, let that kind of roll in between. As long as all those historical points were as close as could be, it was going to be believable. And it was, man. I mean, you know, tons of historians or friends of mine or, you know, fans of mine and stuff, you know, because of it, which means we did a good job.
Yeah, I have a great uncle that was in the Battle of the Bulge. And, I mean, he passed away a few years ago, probably like 7, 8 years ago. But I remember that probably about 15 years ago, I lent him my DVD copy of Band of Brothers for him to sit and watch it, because he had never seen it, and he watched it, and then he gave it back to me, and he says, "I'm glad I watched that, but I will never watch that ever again." You know,
yeah,
it was just far too realistic, and it brought back too many memories of the crap that he went through, you know, 80 years earlier or whatever it was, 70, 80 years earlier at the time. But you know, to hear that type of thing is just amazing, because it means that everything that they put into making this miniseries was done in order to both A, honor the men that were there, and B, find a way for people in the future, because again, now it's been 25 years, none of the men from Easy Company are still around. We can now watch that and in some ways relive their experience of what they went through. Obviously, not anywhere near the level of what they actually went through, but to give us as much of a realistic perspective on that as possible, which is something that you can't do at this point. You can't even do that for anything before World War II from a movie making perspective.
Right. Well, they tried to with 1917 or whatever it was.
They try. Okay. I love 1917. I think it's an amazing,
yeah, me too,
amazing achievement for sure. You're right, but again, it's a little different because you can't get the actual people. I mean, even you can even look at the three, you know, Hank Spielberg productions, the miniseries. You look at Band of Brothers, you see how many of the men are part of the Talking Heads. Then you go to the Pacific, and there's a lot less. And then Masters of the Air, you have none. Because you know, it's been so long. Anyone who was around back then that was in combat, they were, you know, let's say they were 17. They're about 100 now. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, it's gone. You know, and the good thing, you know, I become friends with a lot of the family members. You know, Doc Rowe's grandson.
I've been in touch with Chris. And
Tracy Compton and you know, and all them,
and George Lies.
Yep, George is everywhere.
Oh, I
call him the Band of Brothers movie star. That guy goes everywhere. Every time I see something, George is in.
I've had numerous conversations with George, and I interviewed him already, and it's always fascinating to talk to him.
He's a lovely man. Lovely, lovely, love, love man. All of them are very lovely people. But there's one thing that some of them, a lot of them say, they didn't, their grandfathers or their, some or actual
Christian
fathers,
grandfather and right, yeah.
They they never really talked to them until Banner Brothers came out. Right. And I think it was a lot more, especially like Doc Rowe's grandson.
Correct.
He was like, yeah, I don't care, because he was young, going through college, grandpa's old, you know what I mean? And then it was like all of a sudden this came out and it was like, holy shit. You know, because nobody knows, even, as even the show was as amazing as it is, it was 10 times worse.
Yeah, for sure.
But it opened up a lot of eyes, and I take a lot of pride in it. And I have a lot from the Pacific, so I did the Pacific as well. A lot of pride in family members of some of the people that are like, man, thank you so much. You know what I mean? It's just like, I like the Pacific. I'm really good friends with Sledge's son.
Okay.
And his son and his wife. And we've met a couple times and we talk all the time. And it was just like, wow. It was like thanking me for making sure the people who played their parent or their grandparent look as real as could be, and that's how, how awesome is that for the whole projects to be like that, all three of them, whether you liked them or not. There's one thing like that, say Banner Brothers was different because, like you said, you followed them from jump school all the way to the nest.
That's right.
So you got to know them. You just like, oh, you want, especially, that's why there's so many women, and not to be bad about women, but so many women love Band of Brothers is because, say it was Garnier, and so they, oh, I just love him and his personality, da, 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 and everything was going, and then when he loses his leg, they were heartbroken, just like the actors were. Yeah. Because they got to know who he was and his personality, his background. Nixon and Winters. Really Winters. A lot. And all of them. And then you go on to the Pacific. It was, not one company. It was basically there was four not complete, but three complete divisions, but four divisions that were a project. Purpose of the show. Mm-hmm. So in those divisions they were spread out so much. The Pacific was more just to show the ugliness and the hardship of the Pacific War, right. Which was I thought it did an amazing job. It was not Band of Brothers was that almost the it was like the drama, and the Pacific was the action movie.
Right.
It was like it's just explosions and the death and the horror and being there all alone on these islands. And it was, when you look at Band of Brothers, Normandy, Overlord, they had the Overlord process. And then they moved on. Then they got to go to the town. They liberated the town. They got to hang out in the pubs. And, there's girls there in the Pacific. There was an island with Japanese.
That's right.
And it was fight until pretty much all the Japanese were gone.
Right.
And then where'd they go? To the ship. And then they went to the next island and did it again. And then they went and did it again. And then every once in a while they'd get to pull into somewhere, but it was never, you weren't put into a beautiful little Dutch town with, the lady sitting there, hey, welcome to town.
Right, I think in the Pacific, that's the reason why they do have the whole aspect of Lecky, being in Australia where he meets the girl and things like that.
Yep.
Know that you can get a little away from it, but you also have to realize you have to focus on what you're supposed to be doing and not just.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean that's Band of Brothers. I tell everybody when they watch it, like the Pacific when it came out, I said, take Band of Brothers out of your head. It's a completely different story. It's a different show. It's completely the whole process of your mind is going to be in a complete different place. And, but Band of Brothers is one of those shows that is like, It's like a TV series that you learn the characters, and then the next episode you're learning where those characters go, and then the next episode where these
Right.
characters they're coming. The Pacific bounced around a lot. It was,
Correct.
and but you got to, and Band of Brothers, could be one of the new shows about a rancher, whatever, the 666 Ranch or whatever the heck those shows are. I don't watch those, but it's completely different. But it's if you go back and you watch the Pacific, and that's one thing about now is I have a lot of people that come up with me now going, man, I just rewatched the Pacific. Holy cow, that was a great show. I kind of took, like you said, take the Band of Brothers out of it and watched it, and it's like, as a standalone show, wow.
Exactly.
But they're two complete Band of Brothers. The actors, they're all my brothers. All to this day, the show was phenomenal. It was probably everybody asked me what's my favorite thing to work on, and it's that. My second favorite was the Pacific, both because they were both a year-long work.
Right.
But secondly, the actors, I'm so close and tight with the actors. They still call me Sarge or Gunny or whatever it is that I would, Band of Brothers was Sarge, and thing was Gunny. And when I talk, they're like, oh, okay, okay, let's pay attention to them. And it's really good. But Band of Brothers historically is, it's pretty close. I mean you're gonna have, somebody's gonna argue about everything, but man, it's pretty close.
Right.
And
Exactly. There's no,
you were talking about
not
Bass
100%.
Stone. Was you said your grandfather was in Bass
No,
Stone?
my great uncle, my great uncle.
Great. I will say that I tell this about everybody. Bass Stone are the worlds when men were men. Other than the Frozen shows in Korea, there's never been anything in this world that made men men. And the guys that stood there in Best Known, those men, wow.
Right. Have you ever seen there are two movies from the late 40s, early 50s that dealt with Bess Stone. You have Battleground and Attack.
Nope. I've been told to watch Attack. I was told it was really good.
Attack is with it's with Jack Palance and Eddie Albert, where
Oh, yeah.
the idea there is what do you do about a commander like what did they call him? What did they call Dyke? They called him something Norman.
Oh,
Now I can't remember.
you put me on the
Now I can't remember what
spot.
they would refer to him because he was always hiding. Norman Dyke.
Yeah,
So
he, yeah.
the attack is something similar to that from that
Oh,
perspective.
really?
Attacks from 1956. So if you get a chance, you should check that out. I love watching that because it's so fascinating
Yeah.
to see that.
And what was the name of the other one?
Battleground.
Oh, Battleground. I can't
Battleground.
miss that. I can't
That was
think of
from
that.
1949, and that even has Ricardo Montalban in it. Ricardo Del
Oh,
Monte.
really?
Yeah. He's not the main actor. He's one of the other actors that's in there. The main actor, Van Johnson, was in that.
Oh, wow. The
Yeah.
cowboy Ben Johnson?
Van Johnson, not Ben Johnson. Van.
Oh, Van. I thought you said Ben. I was like, oh.
No, 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 no. And it also has James Whitmore in it. So James Whitmore,
Wow.
you might remember from either he was in the Battle of Midway, but most people remember him now from Shawshank. He played Brooks, the old guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he was in Midway, right? The first Midway. You know who else was in Midway that people don't know? Estrada
Eric
from
Estrada, of
Chips.
course, yeah.
Yeah. And he looks just the same.
Of course, he probably looks the same today.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was like, wait a second.
Doesn't change. Come on.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, he was one of the pilots.
yeah. So one of the questions that I was very curious about is what do they do about the training of, I guess you could say the enemies, like in Band of Brothers, who trains like the German soldiers, the German actors who are playing German soldiers that the men of Easy are fighting against.
We did. It just reversed. We did the same thing. In fact, we trained the Germans a week before we trained the American troops. You know, which is everything's all German uniforms, German weapons, the 98s, the you know the 30 the 42s, everything just changed, the uniforms. And we went out and trained them. We had, you know, the goose step instead of the regular marching. We had just trained them differently.
Oh.
Yeah, we had special abilities. You know, we had we only had a few of like the main, but most of that was the special abilities. You know, because there wasn't a lot of huge German parts in it,
Yeah.
but and most of the German parts that was in the show were, you know, like Michael Cutlets in the barn and stuff. So that was all done later. So it was mainly all special abilities, guys, that every day we filmed all those. I think we had like 40 guys, 30 or 40 got 40 guys in that boot camp. And those guys ran every day. They got killed in all 10 episodes. Yep, those are the bad guys. Yeah, when we you know, we go out and train them. You try to train them as much as you can, but most of it's just like in anything else, you know, American style, you know. But shooting a weapon. It was, you know, the only thing we did differently was the marching. But yeah, we went out and just did tactics with them, got them in formations. And I think their training was I think we did 4 day, 5 day, 5 days with the Germans. You know, it wasn't the 14 days or thing. I think we did Band of Brothers 11 or 14 days. I can't remember the guys.
Wow.
So,
All right. Is there anything else you want to add to this fascinating information that you're giving us?
I could talk for hours, whatever you want to know. Let's go. Yeah, no, I appreciate you, and thank you for reaching out. I appreciate everybody who's watched the show, and I look forward to meeting everybody. I travel the world. Come up and say hi.
Well, if you ever here in Israel, let me know.
Yeah, you never know. I might show up. You know.
Well, you have another friend in Israel
Yes,
now.
sir. You have a friend in me. Anything you need, anytime you want to talk or you want to know something, let me know.
I appreciate that. I really do.
Yes,
So,
sir.
if anyone wants to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you?
Do I give out my email address?
No. Just so that you can find Freddie Joe Farnsworth on Facebook.
Everything's Freddie Farnsworth on Instagram and
Freddie
Facebook.
Joe Farnsworth.
No, there's yeah, but on I got sick of typing, so on Instagram and Facebook it's just Freddie Farnsworth.
Okay.
On Instagram and Face, Freddie Farnsworth, whatever, and Freddie Farnsworth on Facebook. So
All right. Well, thank you very much for.
with an IE, not a
Yeah,
Y.
of course. I realized I made that mistake earlier. Yeah. All right, well,
Yes,
thank you for
sir.
taking the time to talk to me. This really has been amazing. So I do appreciate it. So thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, excellent.